139, Psalmist David, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. And we know that the Lord has promised to bless the reading, the public reading of his precious word. This is a psalm, and if we are faithful to the Lord, the psalm will encourage us. But if we are trying to hide from the Lord, this psalm will make us realize that we are fighting a losing battle. I want just to take 6 points out of the psalm, just to go through them and pray that God will help us to use them to guide and lead our own lives in our daily walk with God and in our Christian experience. And the first point I would like to point out to you is that he knows what we do. God knows what we do. It's seen in verses 1 to 6. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Try hiding from a God like that. It's just impossible. He knows our thoughts afar off. He knows where we are. He knows where we go. He knows what we think. He knows what we do. He knows us personally and intimately. So we must not try to fool him in the things that we do. We must be open and honest with God and rest in his love. And we read in John, 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. You see, his eye is upon us, and we have nothing to fear. His eye is upon us continuously, no matter where we are, and no matter what we do. And secondly, he knows where we go. Verses 7-12, he knows where we go. The psalmist David says here, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me." The world thing does everything in the dark, believing that nobody sees them. But God sees everything, even in the darkness, even in the pitch darkness, pitch blackness. Night is like daytime to God with his all-seeing eyes. What a comfort to know that God is there with us and cares for us, whether we go up or down, or east or west. He's there with us. Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So that's a great comfort to us. Sinners try to hide from God, but believers hide in God. Believers hide in God. Sinners try to hide away from God, which is a great encouragement to you. I better turn this page here. Thirdly, we come to verses 13 and 16. God knows what we are. God knows what we are. 13 and 16 tells us there, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well." Whenever I read that and thought about God, and many of his prophets have said about God knowing them and their mother's womb, and he knew what he had planned for them. He knew their life, what they would be doing and how they would act and where they were going and what God had planned for them. After all, he made us and planned our potential and our possibilities, and ordered our days. And the psalmist knew this. It's not some kind of fatalism, or some kind of whatever happens, happens. Whatever will be, will be. No, it's a wise planning of a loving God and Father, who loves us and who knows what is best for us, and have to accept what we are as his gift to us, what God has gifted us with. And we must reciprocate that by doing what we can for God, because He has done so much for us. And think of our own salvation. Think of the many years spent not knowing God, not desiring to know God. I can remember whenever I was working at home doing that poster work, I was brought up to believe that there was a God. My father and mother, they believed that there was a God, but they weren't saved, they weren't Christians. And I was brought up to believe that the Bible was the Word of God, and that there was a God, and we didn't do anything on Sunday. There was nothing done on Sunday, no playing on Sunday in the gap. And then years on, whenever I was working at the shed at home doing upholstery, two ladies came to the door, and they wanted to tell me about God and the Bible. And I just, to get rid of them, I just said, I don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Just out as quick as I could get out. And they just turned away and walked away. But whenever I went back into the shed again, my heart smote me. And I said to myself, Robert, you weren't brought up to believe that. And I felt really bad. And it just shows you what God does in salvation in that very same shed, some years later. That's where I fell on my knees and cried to God for help. But at that time, I did not call upon Him for salvation. Salvation was the last thing I had any desire for. I wanted to be delivered from the alcohol that was seated by a curse in my life, and that's all I wanted. But God had a plan for me. God had a plan for me. And that's how He knows us and He keeps us, and He has given the gift of His Son. And this is so different to what the world, what we have in the worlding. The difference is, because the worlding, those who do not believe, the psalmist David knew what he says there. I will praise thee, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. The psalmist David knew it well. But the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those that believe not. The world's blind to these things. The world's blind to God. They do not believe in God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And we see it more and more now. And even if they did believe that there's a God, God's not doing it right. God's not doing it right. Because they believe marriage is not meant for just a man and a woman. Whatever they think is right, that's what they believe. And now, believe it or not, but I'm sure you've heard them saying, even now, it just shows you how far down man has fell. You have men and women, men saying, I should have been a woman. I should have been a woman. And women saying, I should have been a man. Women saying, I am trapped in a man's body. And vice versa. That's how far man is gone. And why this has happened? Because man has rejected the God of creation. If you turn to Romans 1, I'll just read some of it. Romans chapter 1, and you know it well. And it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and the birds and the four-footed beasts and the creeping things, whereof God also gave them up to uncleanness. The world does not know that God is in the process of giving them up and giving them over to the wickedness of their own heart. That's what happens whenever men and women reject the God of all creation. He gives them up. He gives them certainly plenty of time to repent. He's given them plenty of time to repent. And there it says there in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's a person, a man or a woman, given up. Whenever God withdraws his grace and leaves them to what they are without God. And today the world's going just down. Who changed the truth of God into a lie? Isn't that what they're doing? They change the truth of God into lies. They make the good evil and the evil good. But God, who changed the truth into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in the knowledge, there is no thought of God in all their minds today. As the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day, at the end time, as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. No thought of God before their eyes. It's getting worse and worse. And we must rejoice and thank God for what he's done for us and continue to pray that he might do it for others. I just go on tonight to my fifth point. The third point, he knows what we are because he made us. He knows what we think. In verses 17 and 18 of Psalm 139, 17 and 18, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. The psalmist David had a God consciousness, and it seemed even whenever the psalmist was asleep, he had this consciousness of God. The psalmist considered the thoughts of God had towards him, and in this way the presence of God grew in his life. The presence of God was there in his life continually, and we all know that David's life, as has been said many times, that there is the cults and the false professors who believe that if you're following God right, you'll have no trouble in your life. Well, psalmist David had nothing but trouble in his life, but he continued to be faithful to God, and God was faithful to him. How can we know the thoughts that God thinks upon us? He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards thee, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. We must thank God that we have an expected end. We have an end ordained by God, but also the ungodly and the unbeliever, they'll have an expected end. If they continue to reject God, they'll have the end that God has prepared for them. God has prepared heaven, and God has prepared hell for all those who do not know him and are not saved. But thank God, he is saving today the ones and twos. Thank God for the mercy drops, and we pray that they continue to pour His Spirit upon us. Firstly, He knows what we love in verses 19 to 22. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee. I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. We must take these words to heart. We who love the Lord, to hate evil. It says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of the saints. He delivers them out of the hands of the wicked. A Christian should not love the world. It tells us in 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Men and women either serve God or they serve the devil. The Bible makes it completely plain. He knows what we do. We've covered that. He knows where we go. He knows where we are. He knows what we think. He knows what we love. And lastly, He knows what we desire. In verses 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We do not know our own hearts as well as we think we do. May we let God search us and deal with the things that make us anxious, and let Him lead us and guide us, for He knows where we ought to be and He knows where we ought to go. So whenever we get down to a word of prayer this evening, we can pray for our own hearts and lives, and pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ through the world. And it's marvellous what God is doing in the world. I remember talking to a Polish man that I worked with, and he believed sincerely that there should be one God. And I says, there is one God. And I says, that God is a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three persons, one Godhead. And he just looked blankly at me. But I says, Marius, whenever I go to Poland and I meet a Christian, he'll tell me he's a born again, Bible believing Christian and believes in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I says, I want to go to China, I want to go to America, I want to go to Canada, I want to go to Romania. And wherever I go, the Christian, I'll tell him the same. No different. Because there's only one God. There's only one way to God. And he didn't say much, but I had the opportunity to talk to him a while after that. Sat for about 15 minutes outside Tesco's. I gave him a lift, and we talked, and he sat in the car and listened. So he did, you know. But whenever we consider that him, the church is one foundation. The church is one foundation, and the second verse goes something like, the second verse, no, elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. God has promised to elect a people for himself out of every nation, kindred, tongue and spirit. That's how we know, we should know Christians, by their language, by their fruits, as we heard in our harvest service, by their fruits ye shall know them.